This is the Social Media Church Podcast, episode number 87. Hey, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. My name is DJ Chuang, your host. Before we continue with our episode, I want to personally invite you to a special online event, a free online event called Social Media Summit for Churches, sponsored by Faith Social. And you're going to hear in 90 minutes from 8 amazing speakers, including myself, about social media for churches. What a perfect topic, right? You're going to hear from Neil Smith, Haley Vedaris, Jason Kasten, people that have already been here at Social Media Church, but they still have more to say. And so here's a place where you can check in and tell the friends and the people that you work with and people in your neighborhood that this is happening on June 4th. And you'll also hear from the 2-time author, probably a third book on the way, Gary Vaynerchuk, as well as Aaron Tabor, the curator of Jesus Daily Facebook page with over 26 million likes. And you'll also hear from Sean Cannell of YouTube for Churches and Matthew Barnett, a leading pastor in Los Angeles. So sign up for it. It's free. Tell all your friends at faithsocial.com. I'll be there. And in 90 minutes, you're going to really be jazzed about social media for churches. Now back to our episode. On this episode, I have a conversation with Brady Shearer of Pro Church Tools, a really handy blog for church and production. I was connected to him by one of our friends here at Social Media Church, Peter Gerges, and he was a guest here back in episode number 42, and he is a blogger over at notashamedofthegospel.com, a big advocate for social media. In my conversation with Brady Shearer, we talk about how social media has made a difference for him and how he's providing services to churches for video announcements professionally done. This is my conversation with Brady Shearer. Welcome to the Social Media Church, Brady Shearer from the great country of Canada. And we're connecting because of an email introduction that one of our listeners here at Social Media Church podcast recommended. And I had come across his blog on my own as well. Brady is a blogger at prochurchtools.com, and he also provides a video service called provideoannouncements.com. We'll talk about both of those as we have conversation about social media and church leaders. Welcome, Brady.
DJ, so good to be here. I appreciate you having me on the show today.
Now, as we were just getting connected, you're about to finish your theology degree, so you're definitely a minister in the making and probably hands-on yourself. How has social media been a part of your journey as a minister of the gospel?
You know, social media has been, I mean, it's absolutely integral to everything that that our church currently does. My degree in theology from the Bible college I'm at is, the major is youth ministry, and social media is by far the most intimate way that we connect with our youth, aside from our, you know, actual one-on-one, face-to-face confrontations. I mean, everything that we do throughout the week, when it comes to coordinating things, it's the number one resource we use. And then when it comes to our actual church work, email, email communication is the only thing that keeps us connected to our church on the web primarily throughout the week. So we have a weekly email that our church sends out. We're a really small church plant, and so it's a way that we get to stay connected with every one of our church members throughout the week. And then, of course, there's small groups and other things like that, but email has really become integral to everything that we do.
What is the information that you put into the email? Is it just a weekly bulletin, or you try to do something that's more customized into how we communicate through web and social media?
Yeah, I mean, we try to keep it fresh and somewhat innovative, but also, you know, really true to our culture and the story that our church is telling. And so it's definitely a weekly update. That's at its core. That's what it is. Some of the things that we have in every email is what we call the song of the month. So basically each month we introduce a new song into our weekly worship sets. And so we always have that song in the email before it comes out, so a month before, and that way, you know, the people in our church can get acclimated to that song a bit, and it doesn't come out of the blue on that first Sunday morning, so they don't have to feel like, you know, they don't know the song. Another thing we have is we have, you know, a note from the pastor, we have upcoming events, and because we're a small church, most of our information when it comes to, you know, intimate information like addresses and phone numbers is also included in the email. And in our video announcements every week, it's one of the key things that we hit on every week. You know, get on the email list because this is how our church communicates throughout the week.
Would you consider email to be a type of social media then?
Yeah, I mean, in my view, it's definitely a type of social media. In fact, for us, it's the pinnacle of social media. I wrote a post a couple weeks ago, and the post was based around the stat that social email drives 1,350% more traffic and interaction than other traditional social media channels does. And that's why it's the main form of communication I use in my blog and in the church, because it's just, I mean, it's such a part of our everyday lives. 91% of us check email every single day. I mean, it's a part of every one of our everyday lives. And so it's kind of that, you know, commonality between all of us that we can use to interact with one another.
Take a couple minutes and drill down into some of the specifics. So you described that you're part of a small church plant. Is that reaching a wide spectrum of ages and generations, or is it more of a next generation young adults that people are comfortable with technology? Give us a sense of the demographics.
Yeah, that's a great question. The church is about going to be 1 year. It's about 1 year, 2 months old right now, and it's a church plant off of another church plant. And so we're in a suburban city off of a major city of Edmonton, Alberta in Canada. And our pastor is really young. He's 27 years old. And all of the staff there, like none of us are actual staff. We're all kind of working pastors sort of thing, and all fully not vocational in the church, if that makes any sense. And so the beginning, it was a lot of us like our age, you know, 30-year-old. My wife and I were 22, and we're some of the youngest. Most is upper 20s and 30s. But as we've continued to grow, surprisingly perhaps, we've added a lot of more older people. So, you know, 50, 60-year-old couples that are coming to our church. And now they're definitely a key part, a key demographic in our overall body.
So email is definitely a communication channel that reaches across generations and helps everyone to stay connected together. So that gives a sense of unity. That's really good.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if we were only using Twitter, which I mean, we do have a channel. If we were only using that, I mean, I know that would leave out a big portion of our church.
And teaching people music. So are you creating audios or are you creating videos and linking it into your email?
Yeah, we usually... a big part of our worship service is using tracks. And so we send out, let's say, you know, the new Hillsong Young and Free music video. And I mean, one of the good things about using tracks at a small church is that our worship team is usually small. And with the tracks, the song almost always sounds very identical to the one that, you know, the people in our church have been listening to. It's usually just a YouTube link.
Very good. And YouTube is definitely a powerful medium. I was just having a conversation earlier how it's an underutilized medium. So glad you're using that. And what is the engine that you use to send out emails?
Well, on my blog, I use MailChimp, which is great because it's, you know, free up for the first 2,000 subscribers that you have. But one of the people in our church who uses the email, he works at a company like MailChimp that's local to Edmonton, where we live. And so called Mailout Interactive. So that's what we use because, you know, he's one of the big guys over at that company.
Cool. And then let's talk a bit about how your church uses Facebook and Twitter Is that also a means to push out announcements, or are you also exploring and trying to reach people beyond your local community?
You know, we do have Twitter and Facebook channels, but I have to say the amount that we use them pales in comparison to email. I mean, everything when it comes to outreach, as well as reaching within our church that already exists, it all comes back to email. We did on Halloween, we had a photo booth. The same guy that does the email, he's also a professional photographer. And so we had a photo booth in his garage. And so kids would come by with their costumes and their parents, and we'd take a photo and we'd be like, hey, we're going to email these photos out to you once they're done being edited. So just put your email down, and you know, we're also going to add you to our list, which of course you can unsubscribe from. And so that was kind of the way that we handled that interaction. So Facebook is definitely big with our youth, because it's really it's still relevant to our demographic of youth. But overall, church-wise, it's email, email, email.
That's good. Email, email, email. That'll tweet. You also use social media for yourself. You've been blogging at prochurchtools.com for quite a while. How long has it been?
Just coming up on the one-year anniversary at the beginning of April.
Great. And you provide some really practical tips about using social media for churches. What is your perspective that you really want to be a champion for and help explain to church leaders so that they use it more effectively?
Well, I mean, to me and the blog, social media always, it all comes down to kind of micro content curation. So basically the blog, that's what I would call content, you know, creation or curation. Basically, you know, 700 to 1,000 word blog posts, you know, podcasts, that sort of thing. And then social media is the really small, on Twitter, you know, 140 characters, micro content. And so what I try to champion the most on the blog is basically that the way our culture is shifting, it's not enough for churches to simply say, you know, we got church on Sunday, midweek on Wednesday, come check us out at our building sort of thing. And that it used to be that the large percentage of people would get their faith information from church on those days. So they go to church, they go to midweek, they'd be a part of a congregation, and that's how we would get our faith information. But now, with the whole digital revolution and the way that we acquire information, I mean, we can just open up our phones, open up Safari, Google something, and we have that information right away. And so we've kind of shifted from getting our information from church, and now we're beginning to get our information just online, because we take our devices and thus the internet with us everywhere. And so the cause that I'm standing behind the most is that we as churches need to become content creators. So on a recent blog post a couple weeks ago, I was saying how, you know, if you have a message series coming up, these are all the things that you can be creating alongside the message series to get it out to people in your church and to get it out onto the web. So, you know, podcasts that are topical to that week's sermon, you know, a list of tweets that are kind of teasing things and getting people amped up, and then just additional links that are going to be helpful information to go alongside your series. And so basically it all comes down to creating content. And so we're not just sharing it from the pulpit, but we're sharing it in the way that our culture now communicates, which is over Twitter. I mean, coincidentally, Twitter just went down a couple hours ago, which I don't think I've ever seen. And then, you know, the number one trend on Twitter was, you know, Twitter crashing. And today is a free agency in the NFL. And so it's a big day for them. And so all these signings are being made and people are choosing their teams and money is being spent. And then Twitter went down. And that's the way information breaks about this. And I wanted to tweet, Twitter's down, and I realized it's that big of a part of me now. I didn't know where else to send it. I mean, I could have put it up on Facebook, but I don't think it just wouldn't have felt right. And so, you know, Twitter went down, and I felt like a part of me, this tool that I use so often, was missing now. And so, I mean, it's become that big of a part of our lives.
So it's hitting various aspects in terms of our entertainment and how we watch television, how we communicate, how we get the news, like you said. And actually, this week is also the middle of the big mega conference called South by Southwest, where Twitter really made it big 3 or 4 years ago. So all of that is a lot of load and the traffic on Twitter continues to increase, it seems. One of the things I wanted to hear a bit more about is your Seinfeld social media experiment. So in addition to explaining how communication methods are changing through your blog, you did this little experiment that sounded pretty fun.
Yeah, that was fun. A Twitter friend of mine, Phil Bodel, he challenged me one morning. I tweeted out a Seinfeld quote, and so he challenged me. He's like, how about you give me a new Seinfeld quote every single morning? And so I said, all right, for the next 14 days, I'm going to send out a new Seinfeld quote every morning at 6 a.m. And so I was on TweetDeck, which is the Twitter client that I use. I was on TweetDeck, and I spent about 30 minutes getting all 14 Seinfeld quotes ready. I scheduled them all for 6 a.m. for the next 14 days, and I left it, which is one of the great things about Twitter and Twitter clients. I mean, I scheduled them. I didn't have to come up with a new one every day and hope that I got it out by 6 a.m. I just scheduled it in that 30 minutes, and I left it. And I wanted to see what kind of interaction I would get, because, you know, you always hear about the great new book that just came out is, Vaynerchuk's Jab, 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 Right Hook. And the point of that book is that you can't always be throwing right hooks at everybody. You have to send out things that are helpful. If you're a boxer and you're always trying to knock somebody out, you're going to leave yourself exposed. And that's just not the way that good boxing works. You need to be jabbing and setting up your opponent for the big right hook. And in Church's case, the big right hook would be, hey, come check out our service. Come visit our website. Those type of things. And so you have to be jabbing, which is, you know, providing helpful content and helpful interaction over social media channels. But you also want to be true to yourself. You don't want to just put out funny YouTube videos as a church if that's not what your church story is all about. And so one of the things about me that is very true is that I love sports and I love sitcoms. And Seinfeld is one of my favorites. So I was like, you know what? This is going to be true to who I am. It's going to be helpful for, I'm sure, no, maybe not helpful, but entertaining for so many people that I know. And so I scheduled it, you know, and these tweets had a great deal more interaction, replies, retweets, favorites than a lot of the other stuff that I put out. And that was even with them coming out at 6 a.m. So not everyone's checking their Twitter at 6 a.m. But I got a lot of responses of people just, you know, it, brightening their day early in the morning. And the whole point of the experiment was to kind of test this 80-20 rule of social media, which is the classic rule that you should be sending out 80% helpful content and then 20% that's, you know, talking about yourself and what you're doing. And I've always kind of struggled with that rule because 80-20 is it's a large disparity between those two. And so this really helped me see how something just fun and really simple, because like I said, it only took 30 minutes, like sending out Seinfeld quotes, can really help with your interaction and building trust and building loyalty and building friendliness across social media.
Cool. Pre-scheduling content, and you made it fun and engaging and entertaining. So the 80% was your Seinfeld quotes. What did you decide to do with that 20%?
Well, I tweet out probably around 10 times per day. And so the Seinfeld, that was just one part of the 80%. Sometimes the lines for me get blurred between 80 and 20%. I mean, I have a productized service that I sell, but for the most part, actually for the whole part, aside from that, everything on the blog is free. So is me promoting myself and my latest blog post, is that part of the 20? Because, I mean, it's not like I'm selling something and it is completely helpful content. So if that's the case, again, the lines for me on this specifically are a bit blurred. I might be closer to 95.5 because I rarely promote the service that I provide. It's almost always just, it's always free stuff.
I think social media and technology is really opening that question up again, because each of us have more than one dimension to us. You know, we might be a student and we might be a husband. And for me, I'm a father, and professionally, I might have a job somewhere. I might be a volunteer at church, and then I might provide free content and products online, as well as paid products and online. And you certainly have multiple dimension yourself.
Yeah. And when it comes to my personal Twitter account, I try to put all those dimensions on display. I mean, I know a lot of my Twitter followers maybe don't care for the the tweets about my latest blog post and church media stuff, but they are intrigued when I talk about, you know, sports, because, you know, that's what their world consists of. And so I think it's important for your church to, you know, put on the full spectrum of what your church is. So you don't always need to be saying, you know, this is our latest service. We're adding an evening service. It's a big deal. And then sending out 8 tweets a day based on that. You know, it's okay to send out stuff that isn't necessarily evangelical or something along those lines. It's okay to just send out fun, entertaining content as long as it's true to who you are as a church.
The thought that came to mind is don't just be preachy or evangelical, be human.
Absolutely. And the church body is an organism, right? That's the great biblical metaphor, the body. And so the church is an organism, and it has different spectrums or has different sides of each spectrum. And I think we should put that on full display, like you said.
Yeah. And one of the great valuable resources that you provide free to everybody on the internet is the Pro Church Toolkit about how to create church videos. Describe what that is.
Well, it's no secret, like I said, that email is my primary form of social media that I use on the blog. And so basically the way that I get people to join the Pro Church Tools email list is by saying, hey, when you give me your email, I'm going to give you this Pro Church Toolkit. So there's ebooks in there, courses, videos. It's kind of like our very best free church media resources all in one toolkit. So there's an ebook called The Ultimate List of 188 Free Fonts. So basically, it's the biggest post I ever wrote. It took me 40 hours and I made it into an ebook, and it's 188 fonts that are free and, you know, don't look like papyrus. So they're not terrible. They're good quality fonts. So that's just one of the things in the toolkit. So basically, that's the way that I get people to join the Pro Church Tools email list. And in return for them giving me something as private and intimate as their email, I want to give them something of real value. So I didn't want to just give one ebook or a video. I want it to be a full toolkit of resources. So there's 5 or 6 ebooks, videos, courses all in there.
Video course is really helpful for churches and people to learn some really practical skills on how to produce a quality video without maybe spending thousands of dollars. Is that right?
Yeah. I spent the last summer creating a 40-part video series called the Church Video Series, and it's just an introduction to creating quality videos. So look, it doesn't have to cost that much money. It doesn't really have to be that hard. You can do it yourself, and here are the step by step how to do it. The whole point of the blog is, I always say, essential media training for every church. So we don't deal with, you know, big technological, techie kind of things. Nothing's really intense or really intimidating. It's all about the essentials. I like to think of it as, you know, grade school, elementary school when it comes to media. So there's a certain level and competence that I think every church can really value from. And that's what we teach on the blog. You know, if you want to go on and learn more deeper concepts, that's high school. I mean, you know, that's not required for everyone. You can choose to drop out in high school, but this is kind of the base layer, you know, how to create a sermon graphic, how to make a video, how to understand social media, just make sense of it all, stuff like that.
Well, thank you for putting that resource together and serving the church in that way. And professionally, you also offer another service that churches can set up and subscribe to, called Pro Video Announcements. Describe how you launched that and how you're able to serve the church in that way.
For sure. Video announcements were one of the very first thing that I did when I got hired as the media director at my church. That was one of the first types of media that we started producing. And when we planted this new church, we all had to become, like I said, working pastors. And so I thought, you know, what way can I serve the global church? And I thought, if we can provide video announcements for churches week by week, that's something that I know, you know, the church as a whole, we're kind of trending and shifting towards, but it's not really easy, especially if you want to do it at a high level. You need a green screen, lights, a presenter who's not afraid in front of the camera and can memorize the lines and present them in a quality fashion. And so I needed an income and a job. My wife and I did, and I knew that this was a way to help the church, and so we launched it last summer, and now we're working with 25 plus churches worldwide, creating video announcements and then other types of videos on top of that, and our more premium packages every single week. And it's been a wild, wild ride. I feel like I work with the best churches in the world, which I'm sure there are plenty of good churches, but I love the pastors that I get to work with, that we get to work with every single week. And it's just been really a dream come true.
Are you able to name one of those churches just to give us a concrete example?
Yeah, for sure. There's a church plant in Texas, and their name is Connecting Point Church. And so they're a church plant just like my church currently up here in Canada, and they meet in a theater just like us. And they're on our personal media director package, which is our most premium and also most popular package. Mm-hmm. And basically the idea is most churches can't hire a media director to be on full-time staff. But what we're going to give them is that kind of same function for about a tenth of the price every single month. So every month we're creating video announcements for them week by week. We also create a sermon trailer for them each month based on their latest series, a couple other videos, and then we do all their graphic work as well. And I've got to work really closely with the worship pastor there. And I mean, it's great. We formed a tight relationship, and they understand me and I understand them. And it's like we're working like right there as if I was in Texas, even though, I'm 3,000 miles away.
You're not at the church, but you're able to really capture the vibe and the feel of the church, create graphics for them, help them to communicate at a higher level than they could on their own.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get on the phone with their worship pastor, and we've had plenty of discussions talking about, this is the direction we're wanting to take it. This is where we're at now. How do we go from here to there? And then me and my team, we work together, everything based on what they give us. And, we push it in that direction.
Sometimes the announcement maker, and sounds like, do you have a team of people that help you do the graphics and the video production side?
I'm definitely doing most of the work, but I have a full team. I have a guy that does all the scripts for the video announcements each week. I have a guy that works on some of the sermon trailers. I have my wife who does a bunch of the announcing. She's our female presenter. I'm the guy that does the male presenting. And like I said, I'm not sure if I said this yet, but my wife and I, we're moving to Niagara Falls in a couple of weeks. And then we're going to have our first home and our first studio at home. And so we're going to be able to expand the amount of presenters that we have in the future as well, because we're growing every single week, and eventually it's going to be going to go beyond my personal capacity to do everything.
You've got a green screen, you're going to have a studio, you've got the production equipment, and then churches, regardless of size, are able to hire you and get some really quality announcements and graphics and sermon series and all kinds of goodies like that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's really funny thinking about the different churches that we have, because we serve a large group of church plants, and then we have a large group of churches that are thousands upon thousands, and then everything in between. So we don't really serve a particular type of church. Every denomination, every different state, even a couple churches in Australia. So everything from across the globe.
And have you picked up the Australian accent?
That's been a little bit of a point of emphasis on my part. I'm really trying to work on that. No, that's one thing that I don't do right now for obvious reasons.
So not only is it a production thing, you're going to have to maybe pick up some acting lessons.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm totally willing too. So if that's what it takes, right?
Very cool. Great talking with you, Brady Shearer from Edmonton, Canada, and on the way to Niagara Falls. Any closing words you have for our listeners as they continue using social media and explore possibly using videos?
My biggest thing is to find your own church's story, and don't rely on what the big guys are doing or what the latest curriculum says. Your church has a unique identity and unique DNA that makes your church who it is and what it is. And so rely on that for all of your, you know, social media content creation and video creation. And that's what we do. And that's what I encourage every other church to do as well.
That was my conversation with Brady Shearer. Thank you for joining me on the Social Media Church podcast. And check the show notes at socialmediachurch.net for links that we may have mentioned. And to connect with Brady, if you'd like to see what he can do for your church and video announcements, do click over and say hello. Let him know that Social Media Church sent him. And since that conversation, Brady has launched a podcast of his own. And his podcast is called Pro Church Podcast, a podcast about the essentials of church media, the essentials that really every church should know. Hey, welcome, Brady, to the world of podcasting. So glad to have you join the ongoing conversations that we should be having amongst church leaders to help each other out, learn together as new technologies are constantly rolling out. And we love hearing about how different churches are using them creatively and effectively. And here at the Social Media Church Podcast, we'd be happy to receive your recommendations of other conversations you'd like to hear. Let me know at socialmediachurch.net and click on the Twitter button or the Facebook button or the email button, whichever way is most convenient for you to drop me a line. This concludes another episode of the Social Media Church Podcast, the place for conversations with church leaders about social media. Share it, like it, tell a friend about it. My name is DJ Chuang, and until next time, we'll see you online.